Auditions and classes on the Zoom platform have their own set of issues for actors. As we continue to grow our talent in this quarantine world, it is best to know how to use the platform in a way that can enhance our work, not diminish it. Let's bloom with Zoom on today's episode of Casting Actors Cast.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast. It's the podcast for actors in the business of show with casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach. Visit us at castingactorscast.com for more information. Please remember to subscribe and like Casting Actors Cast. Here is your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello and welcome to today's patio called Casting Actors Cast. That's a podcast video. I'm casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach with the McCorkle Group in New York. How are you today? I hope you're having a good day today and that you're keeping yourself busy and creative in this crazy corona world. Our subject today is how to bloom as an actor using the video platform Zoom. But first, this is that moment in the podcast where I want to thank you for tuning into Casting Actors Cast. It has been an exciting journey so far with almost 27,000 downloads and counting. It is your feedback and comments that keep me going, and I appreciate the support from the likes, the shares, the questions that I'm getting. Please visit castingactorscast.com for more information and a free book on voiceover acting called Conversation Pieces Out of the Studio, the voiceover workshop for professional actors. Now, when you complete the information form on the website, you'll get directed to opening up and downloading that free PDF book. Also, hey, a big shout out to my friends at Actors Connection. Please visit actorsconnection.com for online classes, workshops, intensives, and a lot more. They do such a great job helping actors make connections with working industry professionals. Now, I love my association with Actors Connection, and I hope you will too, so check them out. Actually, at Actors Connection, we're talking about a live broadcast of Casting Actors Cast from Actors Connection when we're able to get together as a group. So stay tuned for a live broadcast coming from Actors Connection. So I received an email from a listener last week that I thought would be of value to you. Now, she mentioned listening to the series on self-taping, parts 1 and 2, and wondering about the right clothing to wear for self-taping. She was especially looking for advice on the right thing to wear. So, here's my response. Whatever you choose to wear when you're doing a self-tape, remember that it is really okay for you to dress appropriately for the character that you're playing. That means not a costume, but that means perhaps wearing something that is suggestive of the character that you're playing. That would be the first thing that I would agree to. The second thing is that if you don't know quite what to wear, if you're not quite sure, then stick with colors and plain fabric or plain material in whatever you're wearing. That means nothing too busy, nothing too bright, unless it's called for, of course, nothing too frilly. Just keep it very, very simple for yourself. The simpler your clothing is, clearly, the better we're going to be able to focus. We are, the casting directors, are going to be able to focus on your work. So I think that's something to also consider. Common mistakes that I see in terms of what people are wearing is that they just give no kind of regard to who they're playing, and it almost becomes a second thought or, you know, no thought at all. So as long as you're conscientious about wearing something that's appropriate for the character you're playing, I think you're going to be in absolute fine shape. So thank you so much for that question. And you know, you too can ask any kinds of questions by going to castingactorscast.com. Now, along those same issues, let's talk about classes and auditions on Zoom. Now, as you know, Zoom is a wonderful platform for being able to have classes where you get multiple screens in front of you, but also you can spotlight each individual actor. So as far as classes are concerned, it's really great because you really can see the work being done in a Zoom platform. Also, because you're dealing with an entire class group, it's rather easy to go from one student to the next student to the next student. We've also had situations where the two students could interact with each other, although I have to say, I think that's a little more complicated just in terms of being able to relate to the other person in the scene because of the technology. You can't really deal with somebody's body language and the expressive nature of what it would be like in a live audition. But having said that, there are ways in which that can be accomplished pretty successfully as well. And during my Zoom classes and the auditions that I've been conducting over the past 3 months, I've noticed some common issues that actors, I think, really need to know about. You might think that there is not much to an audition or presentation using this technology, but I'm asking you to take a moment to really analyze it. There's a lot to think about. So let's chat about some common issues and how to deal with them. Number one, let's talk about the technical issues that I experience when working on Zoom. So technically, I would say the areas that need to be especially addressed would be the lighting. The lighting is one of those things that sometimes you get the idea that if I'm just sitting with the laptop on my desk and there's a light there, that should be absolutely adequate. And, you know, sometimes it is. But I will share this information with you. Please check out your lighting situation and pay particular attention to the lighting that's taking place behind you. And you want to make sure that you have the area well lit. Now, if you would take a moment and check out what I call three-point lighting, the key light, the fill light, and the backlight are the most important 3 points that you can check out when you're doing your lighting. So three-point lighting literally means you have a general light for the entire area. Then you have a specific key light, and that's focusing on one side of your face or the other. And what that does for you is it really gives some nice contrasts on your face. So you're not just flooding the area with this bright light, that you really have areas on your face that can be clearly seen and that the structure of your face can be seen. It's not just a whiteout, so to speak, on your face. So lighting becomes, I think, one of the first things that I would really want you to focus on. The second thing, sound. Many, many times actors are simply relying on the sound that's coming from their laptop if they're using a laptop to do the work. My concern about that is that we lose a lot of really important vocal dynamics in a classroom or in an audition if you're recording yourself on Zoom. So please make sure that you have a good lavalier microphone. They're not that expensive. They plug into your laptop or your cell phone if you're doing that for self-taping. By the way, I know that you might have listened to the series on self-taping, and I encourage you to go back and listen to that. But this is strictly for Zoom. Zoom has the ability for you to adjust in its settings the kind of sound that makes you sound your best, for lack of a better way to say it. So make sure that you check out all of the settings in Zoom and that you have the appropriate microphone for your laptop. I believe quite strongly that the microphone on your laptop just isn't really, really great. So consider a lavalier microphone. They're anywhere between $15 and $25. Don't spend more than that. And you get a really wonderful quality, and it just kind of clips to, I was looking for mine. I don't kind of see it handy here, but it clips right on your lapel or on your shirt or your top. And the sound quality is really, really great. And you're almost guaranteed a higher quality of audition or scene work through Zoom with a lavalier microphone. The next thing I have to share with you is the background. Now, I know we're all in our living rooms, and I don't suspect that you have a lot of options in terms of what you're going to be able to show on your screenshot. I'm not a big fan of using the Zoom backdrop if you don't have a green screen. The reason for that is that although the technology is really, really good, sometimes it's really hard for the program to delineate between your background that you've got, the fake background that you're putting up, and yourself. And so there's oftentimes some fuzziness that's taking place, or some jarring video kind of scrambling, for lack of a better thing to say, you know, going on in the background. So unless you have a very, very clean, clear background, I would rather have you in your living room or your bedroom than using the backdrop feature on Zoom. But having said that, if you have a green screen background and you want to give yourself a scenario, a theme or whatever in your background, then something that's not too bright, not too busy, so nothing that's going to take me away from watching your audition is really, really important. So that covers background. Take a good look, though, at the technology that Zoom has given you, but make sure that it doesn't have some of those negative effects that I've seen so often during classes. Now, let's also talk technically about the shot itself. Now, if you're looking at me on the video, and I hope you're checking me out on YouTube, by the way, if you're not, please subscribe. Please check it out as I fix my hair, thinking that you're tuning in right now. What's really important is that you frame yourself well in the shot. And I would say maybe 80% of the time in an audition or in teaching, I'm seeing the laptop set way too low, meaning it's on your desk and that you've tilted it, you've tilted the screen back, right, so that you can be in the shot. Now I'm seeing the ceiling and I'm seeing you at a funny angle from below. So what I would suggest you do is with books, with whatever you've got, lift that laptop so it is at eye level, that you should be getting yourself from the chest up and that you should get a full frame of your head and a little tiny bit of headroom. The headroom is that space between the top of your head in the shot and the top of the frame. Just a little bit of headroom. Because of the nature of the laptops and whatever we're using, it's really common to be below the shot and it looks very weak and diminishing. It looks like you're kind of a little person rather than who you are. And then if you are way over the top sometimes and you're cutting off the top of your head, that's doing you a disservice as well. So really be aware of the frame of your shot. Sitting up nice and straight, and because you are sitting, obviously you're going to be losing some of those dynamics. If you can stand and it's a theater audition, that's great, but make sure that you have adjusted your camera appropriately to frame yourself from the waist up for a theater shot. So in Zoom, it can be a little bit challenging because once you set up your shot, you don't want to move too much. So you have to sort of negotiate or compensate for the presentation itself. So I would much rather see the audition itself be well presented rather than you sitting with very low and then standing and, you know, trying to figure it out. Just get yourself set in one place. And then after the audition or after the scene or after the work is done, if it's a class, then you can go ahead and sit down and then adjust the screen accordingly. That kind of makes sense to me, but you would be surprised how many times I'm seeing actors just not even thinking about how they've framed themselves in the shot. So framing yourself can be really, really well. So you want to make sure that you are from the chest up. You know that the camera placement is appropriate for you in that particular shot. Now let's move on to some acting issues that I see when actors are doing scene work in Zoom. because Zoom has this wonderful technology, but it's really funny how actors don't really think through how they're going to make this presentation happen. And the first one I would say is the misplaced focus during your work. Number one, please refrain from looking directly into the camera with your acting. When you're looking into the camera, you are literally looking at me. And almost all casting directors that I know do not want you to be engaging me in the room. So why would you do that when you're Zooming? So you wouldn't. Make sure that you place the other character, if this is a two-hander or you're doing a monologue, probably 12 to 18 inches away from the lens of the camera, either right or left of the camera. That's really important. Because once you have that focus and once you mentally imagine that person 12 to 18 inches and they're standing there, then that focus should be on that character that you're addressing. So please don't look into the camera. Please definitely look to the left or the right. Now that also means even if you are addressing a group of people, for example, even in a group of people, you would just make reference to two, maybe three people. Also, when you're looking off camera left or camera right, make sure that you are doing it cross camera. What I mean by that is that you're looking in that direction. And if you're slightly off center, which I hope that you've listened to previous podcasts where you don't want to make sure that you're symmetrical in the shot, you're slightly left or right, then you want to look in the direction of where the most space is. So that's what we call cross camera. Now, if you don't have a reader or you're using an app to have another reader or you have a reader on a phone or whatever, really make sure that you're focusing on that character and not on us. The second acting note that I see a lot, and this is a bit of a challenge to explain, but I'm going to do my very, very best. And that is, please be careful about being presentational. You know, most of us have issues with cameras anyway, right? We're not comfortable necessarily in front of the camera because we think that we're being watched. And in fact, we are. We're being observed. We're being watched. But what that translates a lot of the time, especially in classes and especially in an audition when you're auditioning on Zoom, is that there's sort of a presentational component to the acting. What I mean by presentational component is that because you are aware that you're being watched, you have a tendency, the actor has a tendency to push themselves a little bit, not really creating a naturalistic environment where they're only speaking to one other person in a two-hander scene. So it becomes sort of this heightened energy, and that kind of push translates poorly in a Zoom environment, translates poorly in any environment, but even in a live film test scenario when we've had actors come in, they've passed the first audition, they're now coming in for the director for a film and television project. It's really incumbent upon the actor to place themselves appropriately in the scene that they are in using the environment that they are in. So I don't ever like directors saying do less, you know, less is more, all of that. I prefer that you just simply be in the room with that other character. And so that's why I think sometimes actors feel like they're pushing it a little bit because they haven't fully immersed themselves into that environment. Another common issue that I see is not using the other character. And I did a podcast called The Spot on the Wall. It's that damn spot on the wall because actors all the time, they're looking at that spot and they're not moving their eyes. They're not doing anything but talking. And the eyes are sort of even glazed over a little bit. And it's just not naturalistic. Please use the other character in the scene. You can, and this is what's fun about acting, right? Is that you can literally create that person and their reaction to you. So if it's a dialogue and it's a back and forth, or you're doing a monologue, you can really bounce your energy off of that significant other in the room, because you've created it any way that you want. And then finally, I would say, in addition to not using the other character, I really would love for you to explore the concept of having empathy for the other character if the scene allows it. So if you are empathetic to that other person, they're listening to you, you're yelling, you're upset, you're talking about what's wrong, you're talking to them for a reason, and you're being emotional about it because maybe it's difficult, whatever the moment is, but you are also showing me empathy for the other character. The more that you show empathy for the other character, the more it shows your good acting technique. Isn't that amazing? Because actors are feeling observed and they're watching and the other actor really isn't in the room and they're sort of faking it, it just diminishes that important quality of realism that many, many times is the only thing that we are seeking in an audition. So not being presentational, being real. And finally, I would say the value of that is that once you are aware of it and that you completely immerse yourself into that situation, you're going to find it so much better. You're going to feel so much more connected to the material. And you're also going to create an atmosphere that sets the right tone, the right mood, the right energy for your audition. Whether it's a class where a bunch of people are watching you and you feel weird about that, and now you're being isolated with just you, and that's that discomfort that's there. If you are in the moment in the scene, if you really are immersed in being very, very present with the work, you're going to have no problems at all. In fact, your work is going to stand out. You're going to rise above because you're bringing your technique to the forefront. And after all, once I get to see that, then my confidence in you as an actor goes way up. And that means I'm more likely to bring you in for those projects that you're right for because I know how you work as an actor. I hope that this has been helpful for you. I've had a really good time today. Hey, listen, I'll see you next week on Casting Actors Cast. Please, in the meantime, if you love this episode, please give me a thumbs up, a like, or a share. All of that stuff just means so good, and it really helps me continue on presenting this information called Casting Actors Cast. Have a great day.
Casting Actors Cast is made possible with your support. Just by listening. Please like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Caitlin Clark.